Good morning, Patriots. Blessed Sunday we have. Even in biblical times, it appears from Scripture that people were making the same mistake as we are making these days. And that's the mistake of relying on men to heal and men to solve problems and men to deal with the issues that only God can handle. Luke 8:43-48. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." That first sentence strikes me is just so amazing, that in Christ's time, again, it is physicians that she is paying to heal herself, to solve herself of woes, which after 12 years they have not been able to heal. And yet through her faith and through the connection in Christ, she is immediately healed. It is amazing how over the thousands of years we have gone nowhere except stayed marking time and doing the same thing over and over. As Isaiah 2:22, "Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem?" And yet, we continue to hold all our hopes in men. It's amazing. And for that matter, anymore, it's men and women, because women have consumed many of the leadership roles. That's a little Luciferian trick, by the way. No offense to women, but that's part of this inversion, is to turn this world upside down in the structure that God has done. And in so doing, try to invalidate everything in the Scriptures. It's not accidental that every time we say things now, when we say men, immediately women say, "See, it's sexist. That was all by design." A nice little Luciferian sleight of hand trick. Our process in life is to work from the foundation of God. That is how it was from the beginning. And over time, as what we call the cabal, which is really not just the cabal is an organization, but who leads the cabal is the question. And I don't think we can be left with much doubt that the cabal at its center, in its ways, in its hatred, could only come from one thing. Whatever they say they are, whatever they are at the core Lucifer's offspring or Lucifer himself. This world is in a trauma right now. It's at a precipice, as we know. It's a choice between returning to God and living as God and turning into an enslaved and forever enslaved world. If we're looking at things from the optic of saying, well, everything's going to be okay, we're missing the bigger part of that, which is it's only going to be okay is if we have faith and stop relying on the, quote, physicians to heal us while turning away from our faith and touching Christ. That passage is equally interesting to me because Christ isn't upset. He wants honesty. And when she finally is honest, he blesses her because he says, it is your faith. And it's only because of her faith when she touched him that he is healed. It's not just because she touched him. And that's what I find very profound. And I've heard this talked about as if she's just touched him and poof, magic, it's done. That's not what it says. It's not what Scripture describes. Scripture describes what he says. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Because through faith, all things are possible. Through faith, mountains can move from here to there. And faith is this amazing connection through God. And it is through Christ that we reclaim our connection to God. And through that connection, we have aligned our frequencies, our vibrations, and re-empowered our energies. And the more true and pure we are in that alignment, all things are possible. All health is achieved. Anything that we desire in the benefit of life and in God's will can manifest. It is all centered on faith. When people are out here, and this is the part that is most amazing about this time. And if we look at the two worlds that are sitting now before us, we have one world that is being given a choice to be saved, literally, to be saved by injecting something into their bodies, which God created, but an injection which is a byproduct of men. And probably some women in there too. I'm not going to exclude any of you. Sorry, you all get thrown in that lump. Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. We have an entire world, a percentage of the entire world. Consider this. We're looking across the globe, and there's a percentage of the entire world that have made their choice to put trust in men and make flesh their strength and turn their heart away from the Lord. And the Lord says that you're cursed to do that. But the Lord also says this, blessed, this is Jeremiah 17:7-8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. And why does it not cease to bear fruit? Because of faith in God. When this country was created with the principles of a foundation of in God we trust, it was a blessing to guide this country also on the structure of faith. Because through faith, all things are healed and all things are possible. So a country that is wrapped in an umbrella or a wrapper of faith, of God's arms, no matter what befalls it, nothing can ever take it. It will always be strong. But as we as a people have moved away from the principles of faith, and we've steered away into this idea that churches should be, when we say separated from church and state, churches should also be gagged on certain things they could say. They should be limited on how far their speech can go. Consider that in itself and how diabolical that is. Consider how Judas that is to accept the 501c3 as an example, the 30 pieces of silver, to agree on those terms to gain money for the church, to agree that from the pulpit there are things that even if God desires, you will not speak of for fear of losing your status as a nonprofit church. The pastor, the priest, the minister all become agents of Lucifer. Those that accept that bargain are accepting a bargain of hell. Who has the right to choose what God will speak? And as we limit what God speak, what God can speak, because we choose, we are now limiting the extent of our faith. And in limiting the extent of our faith, we are limiting the extent of us to have healing and power within this world. And it's all done by our own free will. Remember, we are given one of the greatest gifts by God from the beginning, which was free will, the right to choose. God did not say we had to return to him. He gave us the choice to return to him. And as we turn our hearts to him, he has promised us certain things. We will not want for anything. We will live a life without fear, because he's promised us that if you will do that, have faith in me and have no fear, you will have want for nothing. All he asks in return is to spread his kingdom on the basis of three principal rules. Love thy neighbor as you want to be loved. Help those in need. And give voice and protection to those that have none or are incapable of having it. In this last year, those three rules have been so deeply violated, it's stunning to me. Following the rules of the state, which said that we could not have certain rights, we have watched elderly die alone. We've watched children be injected and die hours later. We've watched children gagged and mentally scarred to believe for the rest of their life, unless we work with this, for the rest of their life, that there's a limit to how they can live, how they can breathe, how they can think, because it's a mask over their very face, the beautiful face which God gave them. God has been clear. And it is as clear as it gets to reread Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man / and I'm going to add this because it's current today. Cursed is the man, also woman, who trusts in man / woman. And why am I changing it? Because in this day and age, we have households that are run and led by women. We have governments that are led by women. There is no stepping aside from that. The actual fact is that as we trust in humans and put our trust in humans to accomplish the things that God can provide, it is a cursed living. We're making an amazing choice when we choose not to participate in this mask or this vax thing. And there's no excuse. I will say this, and it's probably not fair to say no excuse. There are certain things that in which this society has built around that have strapped us to having to, once in a while, put on a mask. I will openly admit that. But it is a mental state of whether it is, one, a willing compliance, two, are you doing everything you can not to comply? Are you limiting the compliance, which is also critical? And are you making sure that in every aspect of your life that you're pure in heart, and even when you enter into those engagements that you're communicating with God to be true in your heart to say, Lord, if there's another way, show me. Otherwise, please understand I am not complying to this tyranny. I'm only doing what is necessary so I can continue my life, but allow me another direction and I will follow. It's being honest in our heart to our intent. Because it goes back to what Christ said. It was our faith that healed her. It was her faith that healed her. Our faith is the most powerful tool we have. And to have our faith true, we have to be honest and true in our hearts to God. Which is being honest and true to Christ, because it is through Christ that we get to Father. You can't hide anything from God. That's one I always love. It's like people think somehow it's like, well, I can slip this one in. You're not going to slip anything in. It doesn't work that way. Maybe if I go off in the closet somewhere and I do something in the dark, God won't see me. It's like, that's like a childish thing, right? I'm going to go in my room and I'm going to close the door and no one will see me. It's like, yeah, good luck on that one. But there is this attitude I think people have. Sometimes it is like that. It's like, you know, it's, so here's the example. And I'll give it like this. There is, in your town, let's say there is one store to shop in, and no matter how you do it, the store is going to mandate that you have to wear a mask. We can't control that. There's a certain way that you're going to have to get food. You've done everything you can. Say that you don't have access to farmers markets, everything you do. Okay. But there's a difference between going in and doing that act, being very clear in your head, denouncing it in your heart, and doing it to the sake of getting food, letting God know that you are open to any option other than that. But if that's what you will need to do, you will do it. Then this person who leaves the house, puts the mask on, drives in their car with the mask, gets out of the car, walks in, wears the mask, walks around, comes back out, continues to wear the mask, gets in the car, drives back to their house, gets in the garage, wears the mask, unloads his groceries, and finally takes the mask off. That's nuts. And it's complying to this tyranny. We have to push the limits of compliance everywhere. It's the only way through this. And we're not doing it just to be protesting. We're doing it because it's part of who we are. We don't listen to the rules of men, that, especially when they lie and make up nonsense. We're living a life through Christ to God. It's a step towards flipping tables. And it must be done. We have to set the example for the others to see that defiance is as important as our faith. Because defiance, in this case, is representing our faith. So I'm going to use the grocery model again because I've been... In Oregon, everybody's supposed to wear a mask when you go in the store. But now almost every store offers home delivery. So why would I bother going into a store? I actually kind of like it. I get online. I order online. They pick out my groceries. They text me as they go. They ask me if I want this or that. If I want a replacement, I tell them. I don't have to leave the house. I can sit on the porch. I can walk across the street. I can go shopping somewhere else and do something. I can go walk in the park. They're doing my shopping for me. I can't help the fact that when they deliver the groceries, they're told to stay in their car, wear a mask up to my doorstep as I greet them without a mask. I smile. So that's their choice. I'm not being insulting. The person that's working for that corporate beast, they're making a choice to comply to the corporate rules. But since the corporation is offering an option that I don't have to go into their store and play their mask games and I can have the groceries delivered to the front door, oh yeah, I'm doing that one, trust me. Especially when you go down and you go, how much does it cost me? And they say nothing. And I'm like, really? And then they say, but if you'd like to tip the person a little extra, it goes right to them. And I'm like, heck yeah. That's my tithing. I'm glad to give that person a little extra boost for doing what they did. Matter of fact, I'll be really generous. I'll be more generous than I would have any other time because they're doing a blessing for me. And I don't wish them ill will. I also hope that they will be inspired by a blessing to do something more. So it's really quite a blessed environment. I don't have to deal with grocery shopping. I can get everything I need right to the door. So my point of this is there is this strange world that's evolving, and it's two worlds, and it's right before us. And it's those that are complying and those that are not. We are all going to be challenged, but as the farther we go down this road, we have to make more and more decisions based on how we want this world to be. We're still living in the in-between. And in certain areas, the world is now divided. We have a very clear line between those that are worshiping or accepting the enslavement through the mask and the injection. In fact, they're feeling good about their life right now because the injection has freed them. Even though they're still wearing a mask, I think it's become a social fashion statement. They like it. They get used to it. They're just like, this is what we do. They put it on like they put on a hat, like they put on makeup, like they put on their underwear. Hopefully it's not smelly, like dirty underwear, but who knows? And I really say that because a lot of these masks are so disgusting. I look at it and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. So that's one part of the division that's very clear right now. So our world is divided there very clear, okay? Very clearly. But we're in this other gray space that is going to quickly in the coming months, it will begin to divide itself. And that is who's working for the corporate beast and who's separating from the corporate beast. And that's the separation that now needs to happen. We each need to be making a choice that back to faith. Our faith has to be purely aligned with God in all things. We have to each step of the way assess our lives and find out where we are hooked into this Luciferian cabal and where we can detach from this Luciferian cabal. I've done my protest of walking through stores. I just did it yesterday, in fact, without masks. I was the only one there. Couldn't believe it. It's crazy. I do that when I need to. My point is, when they're offering other options, I don't even waste my time going there because I can get more things done when they're going to do it for me. Like work on my garden, which is what I did while they were delivering groceries. It was a good deal. But this next level that we're going at, we have to be making these hard decisions. And the hard decisions are, who are you going to work for? Who's your life going to be controlled by? How much freedom are you going to try to achieve? Are you truly going to try to live sovereign and separate yourself from the corporate beast? It's not easy. But these are things that have to be decided each step of this way. Because each step that you take doing that, you have to make a choice. Will you trust in God and allow him to guide you? Or will you trust in the system that offers you the carrot that ultimately enslaves you? Will you be trusting in man or will you be trusting in God? And the beauty of this walk is you can't hide from it. It's right before you. Right before you, every step of the way. If we choose to walk with God, if we choose to walk with Christ in our heart, then every step that we see that's before us, that where we have to comply to rules of tyranny, giving up our individual rights, every step of the way that we do that, we are stepping farther away from God. As we go down this path, the more that we find our ways to separate from the compliance, we are walking with God. Closer to God. And that's this path. It's individual, each one, and it's a different pace and timing for each person. What one person can achieve in a week might take another 6 months to a year, but it's centered on a central issue. If you are wanting to live away and separated from the cabal, you have to give that to God and let him guide you. God will give you the timing and the pacing. But if we simply turn and pretend that it's not important, that I'm just going to comply, and I'm not going to comply here, but I will comply there, we can't live in the middle. Faith doesn't work like that. Faith is not a part-time occupation. You're all in or you're not in. And for me, the part that is profound in this back to Luke 8:43-48 is unknowingly the woman was all in. She had not even discovered how deep her faith was until she touched Christ and then he acknowledged to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." She herself healed herself through the touching of Christ because it was only then that her to use it this way, her frequency, her energy, and her vibration were in alignment with God's Son. We are long past the point in this war of people waffling about faith, of people waffling about their relationship with God, about people waffling on whether they can endure it or not endure it. You've made it this far. And if you've made it this far and you have not, and you have made it without an injection, you've made it without a mask most of the time, then start praising God to helping for the greater strength that you have. You have more faith than you realize. Now embrace it. And embracing it becomes stronger. And as you become stronger, you become invincible through God. But if we allow ourselves to sit in that middle, to waffle, to play the game of, well, my job is so important to me, they're going to, and this is a good one, because we hear it all the time, the job mandates that I wear a mask. The job mandates that I'm going to get an injection. I'm going to go ahead and do it because I need to keep my job. You have no faith. No one said that breaking away would be easy. But after a year of this, and I said this a year ago, you need to start preparing to break away from the cabal. I said this a year ago. And you need to start making those preparations by putting it to God and planning for yourself to separate. We are a year into this. And it's not going to end until we end the relationship with them. And who is them? They are the fallen. They are the mystery hands behind the handful of corporations that literally, or investment groups that literally run the world. It comes down to about four, believe it or not, four foundations that effectively run the entire world. And behind them, there's a select few that are in the shadows that no one really knows who they are because they run these foundations from a privacy, as private foundations. No one really knows who they are. We don't have to question. They have their agents around them, the ones that we see, but they're not the real force behind this. Any force that can have this measure of evil to literally engineer ways to destroy God's children, to traffic and see to it that the parts of babies are used in vaccines to inject within us, that is beyond sick. That's those that consume the flesh wanting God's children to be injected with the flesh that they would consume. That's the offspring of Cain. And that bloodline is the offspring of the serpent. And that's what we're dealing with. And the only way that we are going to be free of that is for us to fight this fight at each of our places in life. To be bold in that fight. To center ourselves on what the true power of faith is. To align ourselves purely with God and through Christ with God in our frequency, our vibration, our energy, to put all of that in alignment with Christ. And that means that there can be no compromise. Consider it like this. If you have an electric circuit and you clip one of the lines on that electric circuit and there's a leak in the line, there isn't enough power on the other end as there should be. Every single time that we are drawing ourselves away to comply with their tyranny, to give in to their rules, to suck ourselves into the relationships with material things, to worship everything but God, it's like we're breaking the circuit. We're putting energy away from where it needs to go. But as we clean that up, it's like that power line heals itself. And it becomes stronger and the voltage becomes stronger at the other end. And the more pure it is, the more powerful it is. That is why we must. And it's absolutely why we must clean up our relationships to separate ourselves at every step that we encounter it from the control of the cabal. It doesn't happen overnight. But everything is a step. We start our gardens. We begin to reclaim the control of our children from the state. We separate ourselves from the corporate rules and we start running our own businesses to build our own economies. We keep ourselves informed. We bring our churches into the home. These are the powerful things that we have to do to reclaim the sovereignty which God gave us, and it's not easy. And in this transition, it will be a bit rough at times. But Christ's walk to the cross, to the crucifixion, was not an easy walk. And for me, that metaphor is what we're all walking right now without having to be nailed to the cross. But that trial that he went through was a reminder to all of us of what it will take to live that path of faith. And in so doing, what is the answer? You are set free, because through that process of living truly with God, you are given the greatest gift you could ever ask for, and that is the gift of everlasting life. So I challenge each person to take this day to make a commitment to, one, proclaim to God that you will separate at every opportunity that is shown to you from the control of the cabal. And by separate, that means you will begin the actions under with the guidance of God to separate from the cabal's control and to live a sovereign life. And in doing so, you may not have the answers, but that's part of making the commitment to God to let him guide you, let him show you, to listen, and to learn the language of God as he shows and as he reveals. And in doing that process, it might take you 5 years. It might take you 2 weeks. What I know is this: the more pure we are with our intent with God, the more we trust in God, miracles happen almost instantaneously. The faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain from here to there. That's not an exaggeration. It all rests within our heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed in this time that we are, to be in this time, to share this time, to be part of this amazing awakening as we discover the true nature of the gifts and people that you created. As your children, Lord, we are truly humbled by all that exists within us that is yet to be discovered. And each step we make, we discover more greatness within us. We are facing an incredible enemy, Lord, an enemy that seemingly controls all the things that we rely on. And yet we know in our heart, by relying on you, trusting in you fully, and letting you guide us and show us what needs to happen, as we trust in that, we know that we can break from that cabal. We can break from that control. We can throw off the yokes of enslavement. And we can rise from within to be free, to build a world based on your laws, a world built on love and respect, a world built on the true nature and true sense of liberty and sovereignty. And most importantly, a world built on the foundation of your love, and in God we trust. Let us walk boldly within the body of Christ, Lord, as we move forward, to give us strength to stand in front of this evil, to never bow, to never bend. And in so doing, be part of the storm which you are bringing to free us all. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It is work, patriots. It's work. It's not easy. But it's not going to happen unless we make those true commitments and we make the conviction to God of what we intend. Dream big. Begin with what you need in your life and put that to God and ask for guidance. Don't bemoan the issues. Don't look to God to fix everything. Ask God for the guidance and the things that you need. And as you discover the things that you need, ask God for guidance, for help, for clarity. It's an ongoing dialogue. It's an ongoing sharing. It's an ongoing process. And as the farther you go, the more that you can understand what is needed, or the more new challenges that erupt, you'll be able to have this additional thing that you're going to need guidance on or strength on. Or perhaps you look to God and say, God, I'm not going to do this, but I need something here to help me. And then we have to allow God to do his work. God's not a credit card. He's not here to pay your bills. But it's because that's charity. What we're talking about here is equity. And that's the most important part of this entire message. Equity is when we ourselves invest in the process of change. Charity is when we sit and hold out our hand and say, God, give us this. Equity is when we sit and we pray and we say, help me, guide me, show me what works I need to do to make my works of faith. And in so doing, we literally shake the world. We don't transform the world. We shake it to its core. And in so doing, we are set free. We are rising up from within the beast. And it's from within the beast that we will destroy it and set ourselves free. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always, always press into the fight. Keep your prayers focused on this path ahead of you. Seek to be free. Commit. I challenge you. I challenge you to seek to set yourself free. Allow God to hear that commitment. Allow God to guide you and truly hold it in your heart. Because once you commit to it, now you have to be prepared for what's going to come. It might come in drips. It might come in a bulldozer through your front door. All I can say is be ready. Because this is a time right now that God is moving powerfully in the world. And he's listening to his children. Because this is who he's counting on to sweep this world and bring back his kingdom and reclaim the greatness of his dominance in all things. So he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. God is so beautiful. Just such an amazing, amazing time. And in the end, God will always win. Always. Let's be there with him. Have a very blessed Sunday. I'll be back this evening remember, tonight is not Expedition Cafe. It's Bards FM. Same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And tonight is the interview with Dr. Carrie Madej. Brilliant mind. And it's an exciting interview. A beautiful Christian and doctor, and who's fighting this fight like the other frontline doctors. Excited to have the interview with her, and I look forward to sharing it with you tonight. So I'll see you then, or until the next time. God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. From coming, why look at all
to what we build, absolution. East of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers, what the night knows. There's a revolution rising in the shadows. Fire and ice we hold inside, a revival.